giving all praise and honor to God. And to Pastor Joshua for the opportunity to stand in a pulpit one more time. To you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you don't mind, would you just stand to your feet for a moment? The presence of the living God has been in this place the whole time. And I mean, he didn't just come in here at 11 o'clock. He started at 8 o'clock and came in and sat down and took residence. And he just filled this place today. So right now, just lift your hands. Let's just keep that blessing going. Lift your hands, open up your mouth, and just thank him. Father, we just want to thank you so much, Lord, for everything that you're doing, for every blessing that you've given us today, for every door that you've opened and every way that you're making, Father. We thank you, Lord, because we came in here today expecting to receive from you. And so now, Lord, open up our hearts and our minds that we might receive what the Spirit would say to the church. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, that I speak your word and your word alone. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you will, turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 13 through 15. Exodus is the second book in the Bible. So if you're all the way in Matthew or Acts or Psalm, you've gone too far. You need to turn around and go back. And if you still can't find it, just look up on the screen. It's up there. Amen. Verse 13 reads as follows. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Look at your neighbor. So neighbor, I've come to encounter the I am-ness of God. You may be seated in the presence of God. I'm going to kind of piggyback a little bit off of Minister Holloway's sermon this morning. And if you didn't hear that sermon, this message this morning, oh my God, he preached a powerful message on how praise is our victory. And that victory only can come when you encounter the I am-ness of God. And now the when we say the I am-ness, I know that is not a word, but preachers have license where we can make up some words. And so I've made up this word today, I am-ness, to reflect on who God is. And I don't want to take this lightly because I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know the way God gave this message to me. When I received the assignment from Pastor that I was to preach at 11 o'clock hour, I immediately went into prayer. And I asked God, I said, God, what is it that you want me to say to your people? And every now and then, Pastor Joshua may say, why don't you look at this as a focus? And so I text him and I said, Pastor, is there a particular focus you want me to look at? And a few minutes later, the message popped back up in my phone and said, yes, I am. And when I got the message, I said, ooh, Pastor, that's good. I like that message. And immediately I went into study and started looking and researching and to find out about the I am-ness of God and studying everything about the I am of God. And I was at a function yesterday, and I was on my way home from the function, and I looked at the phone and I noticed that the message I sent Pastor was not answered. It still had my question, what do you want me to focus on? I said, well, where did the yes, I am come from? And so I went back and looked at my phone, and there was a young lady who used to work with me, and she texted me earlier in the week and said, I'm coming to visit your church this Sunday. And I texted her that morning, and I said, are you still coming to visit? And her response was, yes, I am. So the yes I am was not the yes I am from Pastor. It was the yes I am from her. And in essence, it wasn't even the yes I am from her. It was God answering my question on what is it that I am to preach on. So God said, I want you to preach on who I am today. This is a powerful thing to understand who God is. Because before you can ever get victory in your praise, you got to know who you are praising to. So if you're going to have some victory, you've got to realize there is somebody who you have to call on in order to get the victory from. So when we begin to understand who the great I am is, then not only do we understand who he is, but we understand who we are. Because you can never be anything outside of the power of the living God. So when we begin looking at this, we have to understand that God is trying to access something through us, and we can never access what God has for us if we are not connected with him. Oh, I'm about to lose some of y'all right here. So let me just point this out. At my job, I was at work one day and I got hungry. No surprise. There's a vending machine in the break room. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the vending machine, and I'm just going to get me some chips or some peanuts or whatever they got in there that I can just snack on. So I went to the vending machine, took out my money, and I looked, and I said, oh, they got a Twix. Nothing better than chocolate caramel and cookies. And the Twix was 75 cents. Now, that's even better. Because sometimes they're about $1, $1.25, $1.50, and it was 75 cents. I said, I got a discount. Took my money out, put my money in the machine, pressed a button, nothing happened. I shook the machine, nothing happened. Looked around, kicked the machine, nothing happened. I said, this machine took my money, and I didn't get anything back in return. And while I'm standing there looking at the machine, there was a guy over in the corner looking at me. And I looked at him and I said, did you see the machine take my money? He said, yes, I saw the machine take your money. But you put it in before I could put this out of order sign on it. So I said, you mean to tell me I have placed the value of what I had on the inside of the machine and I never received anything in return? And he said, no, because there is no connection. And since there is no connection, you cannot receive it. I've come to let somebody in here know that you cannot have a broken connection with God. For some of you in this place, God is trying to access things in you, and he keeps placing value on the inside, expecting to receive a return. But because you don't want to praise, you don't want to open your mouth, you don't want to trust in God, he cannot receive the full value of what he placed on the inside of you. And the reason why is because on the inside of your spirit is an out of order sign, and God says there is no connection. Moses had the same sense in the word of God. Y'all remember Moses? Moses was the called one. He was born for a purpose.
And that was to be the deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt. He knew his assignment. And the Bible says that he got up one day and he killed an Egyptian. And when he killed the Egyptian, he found himself on the run. And he was on the run for 40 years. And one day, while he was out taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, he saw a bush that was burning. When he came near the bush, God spoke from the bush and said to him, "You need to take off your shoes because the place you're standing on is holy ground." Moses took off his shoes and realized he was in the very presence of God. And so God says to Moses, watch this. He says, "I am going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt." God says, let me say that again. He says, "I am going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt." But then he says, "And I'm going to send you." Now, if God is going to do the deliverance, why is he going to send me? He says, "I'm going to send you, and when I send you, you are to tell Pharaoh to let my people go." Now, Moses thought about this, and when he thought about this, the thing he began to realize was that God, although God said he was going to deliver the children, Moses was going to be the vehicle. And Moses said, "I have already tried to do it under my power and nothing has happened. I've come to let somebody know that while you're sitting in here right now, maybe the reason why it didn't work the first time was because you were doing it on your own power. When God said, 'I'm the one that's going to do it,' I'm just going to send you to be the vehicle in which I accomplish it." Moses begins to argue with God, and he says to God, "I understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to be able to do this." He did not realize that at this particular moment, this was his encounter, and his encounter was preparing to unlock a divine purpose. For some of you in here right now, you have not encountered God, so your purpose has not been unlocked. And that is the reason why all of a sudden you keep thinking to yourself, "What am I supposed to do?" You don't know what you're supposed to do because you have not encountered the living God. You might have come to church every now and then. You might have sang in the choir. You might have been an usher. You might even be a deacon. But you have not encountered God. You just encountered church. And since you've encountered church, you are here coming into a place where all you can do is go through routine. But God says, "I am not the God of routine. I have come to shake some things up." And when there's an encounter from God, the thing that God does is he loves to unlock divine purpose in somebody. There was a man named David that encountered God, and God unlocked his destiny to kill a giant. There was a man named Joshua. His encounter allowed him to cause the walls of Jericho to fall down to the ground. There was a man named Daniel. Daniel's encounter led him into a lion's den, and God shut the mouths of a lion. There was a man named Peter. His encounter with God allowed him to walk on water. And a man named Paul, who was a murderer, his encounter with God led him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. I've come to tell somebody today that all you've got to do is fill in your name and you can write down the encounter from God for the purpose he has set up for you. If you don't believe me, there was a man named Billy Graham. When his encounter was unlocked, he preached to the world, and millions were saved because of his voice. There was a man named Martin Luther, and when he stood up against the Roman church, the Reformation was born. Another Martin Luther, who was the king, when he came forward and his destiny was unlocked, the civil rights movement was birthed. There was a man named Isaiah Joshua. When he encountered God in Houston, God birthed it to him 25 years at Shiloh as pastor. Don't tell me God will not unlock your destiny.
There was a man named Mansell that he took from the streets of Chicago, who went through jail and came back out on the other side. And even right now, when you take a good look at me and you pull up my background says it's nice and clean, because God has a way of expunging every bad thing that's ever existed in your life. Is there anybody in this place that says I can trust God in the midst of my trouble and in the midst of my fears? Moses had something to be afraid of. He was a murderer. He had killed an Egyptian. He was a man who had problems. He couldn't even talk right. He had a stutter in his mouth. He was slow in his speech. And here was God telling him, I'm going to send you back to the place that you ran from. Because when God reaches you in your encounter, he says, I'm not concerned about your strengths. I want to use you in your weaknesses. So he said, I'm going to send you back to where you came from, back to what you ran from, back to the burdens and problems that tries to hold you back. And not only that, but I'm going to use the weakness of your mouth, because I want you to open up your mouth and say something to Pharaoh. Who in the world does Moses think he is? He's getting ready to go to a place where the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, is in control, and he has to stand before him, the man who ran for killing another Egyptian, and say that God told me to tell you, let my people go. And Pharaoh would look at him and say, who do you think you are, little man? It is in the midst of our weaknesses that God says, I can use you the most. That's why Paul said that when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. That's the reason why we have to realize that when we decide that we are strong in some things and we cannot humble ourselves, that's when we mess up every time. How many know that your pride will trip you up every single time? But when you humble yourself in the presence of God, God says, I can use that. You're not strong enough, and you recognize that? I can use that. You don't know enough scripture? I can use that. Wait a minute. Why in the world would God choose to use my weakness to show his strength? Because when you start operating in your strength, you start thinking you're the one that did it. Boy, I wish I had a witness. You start thinking, I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that built this. I'm the one that was able to bring something together out of this. I'm the one that built something on nothingness. The only one that ever had the power to build something out of nothing is God. And so when you are weak and you recognize that I can't do this on my own strength, God says, now is the time for me to show up and show out. Why is it that you cannot accomplish your goals? Because you are in the way. Sometimes you just need to get out of the way and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, go ahead and do it. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here that can testify that when you got out of the way, that's when God said, it's time to show up. When you took a step to the left, God said, now I can make a way out of no way. Is there anybody in this place that said that I want to access the power of God? And I can only do that when I get out of my own self-way. Moses was afraid to go back to Egypt.
He was afraid of what he would find. He was afraid of where he came from. He was afraid of his circumstance. Don't you know that your past circumstances are the thing that allow your present testimony?
That'll sink in just a minute.
Because some of the people you used to hang out with, if you to go back and tell them right now, God has made a change in my life. They can go back and name every type of liquor you used to drink. They could tell you how tight you used to roll them left-handed cigarettes. They could tell you all the women, all the men you used to sleep with. They could say all those things to you, because the thing that the enemy always tries to do is bring up what you used to be. But I dare somebody to just open up your mouth and tell the devil, what I used to be will not stop me from what God is calling me to be. Yes, I was a killer in Egypt. Yes, I hid their body in the sand. Yes, I ran because I was afraid. But guess what? Now is the time for my comeback. Now I'm getting ready to go back to where I was. And when I go back to where I was, everybody that was left in captivity, I'm bringing back with me. Is there anybody in this place that can declare that you are a Moses in the house? Moses was afraid to go back, but he was afraid of his weakness. You cannot be afraid of your weakness. It's your weakness that is your strength. You step out of the way of God. You say, God, now you can have it. Jesus put it this way. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. The branch is where the fruit grows from. But the branch has to get its nourishment from the vine. If the branch is not attached to the vine, then fruit will not grow. You can take a branch and it could be a nice, healthy looking branch, but if it is not attached, then that branch is nothing. In other words, you can be the best looking preacher standing in the pulpit. You can know the word backwards and forwards. You can sit and you can speak in tongues and dance and sing like an angel. You can do all those different things, but if you are not connected to God, you are nothing more than a clinging cymbal and sounding brass. You've got to be to the point that you say that in everything that I have and everything that I am, it is nothing without God. Oh, I dare somebody in this place to put the devil on notice and let him know that you are not holding me back. I might have been the worst person in the past. People might be able to pull up my mugshot on the internet. People might be able to look at my bank account and say, you ain't got nothing. But you just don't know the God that I serve. Because when Moses looked up and he said, who do I tell the people when I come to them? God said, you tell them the I am that I am has sent you. What does that mean, the I am that I am? In the Hebrew, it is Hayah, Asher Hayah, which also is transliterated around to being Yahweh, which means Lord. So he said, when you go back to them, you tell them the I am, the Hayah has sent you. And when I send you, when the great I am sends you, that means that everything that I have placed inside of you becomes unlocked when you recognize the I am. Because when you gotta realize what begins to follow the I am, everything that follows the I am is made manifest. So when God said, I am the deliverer, and I am the healer, and I am the one that brings you out, the atmosphere becomes alive because the glory of God is released and something starts to happen. So the response should always be, since God has said, I I am, now I can say I am. I am strong. I am mighty. I am healed in Jesus' name. I am a victor. I am more than a conqueror. That's what the I am is. But when Moses began to speak, he began to speak like most of us. And he spoke out of his I am notness, saying, I am not able to speak. God said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I am not able to go back. I want you to talk to him. I am not able to talk to him because on the inside of my mouth, I don't have a good speech. But I've come to let somebody know, you've got to take the knot out of your I am notness. You've got to get to the point that when trouble comes your way and the enemy says you can't make it, you can look at him and say, you just don't know who I am. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the living God. I live because he lives. I am the one who God has raised up out of the pit, and he has put me in the palace. You can say what you want, devil. I am Daniel in the lion's den. I am Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm in the midst of the fire, but I'm not being burned. I am David standing before the giant, taking my slingshot and waving it in the air. You just don't know. I am the one that walks on water. So when you start bringing up the wind and the waves, I am the one that can speak with the mouth of God and say, peace, be still. Is there anybody in here that can embrace your I am-ness? Watch this. When God says that I am the I am, it becomes an umbrella for you. What you mean by an umbrella? Well, there's a story of a man that was getting ready to take his daughter to the movies. His daughter was 5 years old, and when they got ready to leave, it was raining outside, and she said, Daddy, we're gonna get wet. He said, no, baby, because I've got an umbrella. And she says, yeah, but you got an umbrella, and I want an umbrella too. So he said, well, here's a little one. She said, I don't want the little umbrella. You got a big one. I want the big umbrella. So when they got outside, he gave her the big umbrella, but it was too big for her to hold, and she was going backwards and still getting wet. And she said, Daddy, I'm still getting wet. He said, let me take the big one and you open your little one. But when she opened the little umbrella, although it was still a little umbrella, it was an umbrella, and she was still getting wet because it was too small to keep the rain off of her. And so she started to cry, and she said, Daddy, I've got an umbrella, and you got an umbrella, but my umbrella is still allowing me to get wet. He said, that's all right. Hold up your umbrella. And when she held it up, she said, I'm not getting wet anymore. And he said, that's fine. Just pull in a little bit closer. Because while she had her little umbrella, he was standing over her with the big umbrella. So that although she had her own thing, it was his that was covering her. I've come to let somebody know there is an I am in your mouth, but your I am does not compare to the I am-ness of God. His I am-ness is an umbrella that covers you and keeps the enemy at bay. Is there anybody in this place that can give God some praise? So God says to Moses, go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go. He said, I can't talk. He said, I'm going to send Aaron with you. And when I send Aaron with you, he's going to do the talking, and you're going to do the acting. anointing, you will be as God and he will be as your prophet. And so now when he steps on the scene, the Bible says in the beginning of it, every time Aaron spoke, Moses would begin to do what God said to do. But toward the end of the plagues, Moses didn't have to worry about Aaron anymore. He was going up to Pharaoh himself and saying to Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. It didn't say he had a stutter now. It didn't say that he was afraid now. Because you got to understand, when the I amness of God begins to operate in your life, every devil in hell better get out of the way. I might be scared right now for what's getting ready to happen, but I got a God that's getting ready to pour his strength out into my life. Is there anybody in this place that can praise God for the I amness? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the gate. I am the one that the builders rejected. And I am the chief cornerstone. I am the Alpha. And I am the Omega. I am the beginning. And I am the end. I am the destroyer of everything the enemy has set up in your life. And all you've got to do is just pull in closer. Is there anybody in this place that can pull in closer? Well, if you can pull in closer to God, you might as well go ahead and praise him for your victory. If you can pull in closer to God, you might as well go ahead and say, I'm covered by the great I am, by the one who has lifted me up, by the one who was slain before the foundation of the world. What do you mean he was slain? What do you mean before the foundation? Before he even said, let there be light, he had already looked down through 42 generations and saw his son. He had already looked down, seeing him heal the sick, raising the dead. He had already seen his son out there telling the storms, peace be still. He had already seen his son dying on the cross. He had already seen his son hanging on that cross from the 6th to the 9th hour. He had already seen his son being taken down from the cross, seen him wrapped up in 100 pounds of spices, being placed in a brand new tomb. He had already seen his son staying in the belly of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and before the foundation of the world, angels were already rejoicing, because on the 3rd day something started to happen. On the 1st day of the week, there was a brand new thing happening. On the 1st day of the week, the stone was rolled away. On the 1st day of the week, the I am got up and said, I am the past, the present, and the future, all rolled into one, and all power is in my hands. Is there anybody in this place that can give God some praise for the power, for the power, for the power that he is releasing in the earth? Somebody say yes. 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 He is the great I am. We come to church that we can be in his very presence. But there are some that have never experienced the power of the great I am. There are some of you been in church for years have never experienced the power of the great I am. Never. Never felt the presence of the living God. God is so powerful and loves you just that much that the Bible says he would send his son to die on the cross for you. Bow your heads for a moment. And I want you to think about this. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken something that did not belong to you? Well, by your own admission, you are a liar and a thief. And the Bible says that liars and thieves can't even have a part in the kingdom of heaven. But God loves you so much that he sent his son to pay the penalty for every part of the law that you have broken. And all you have to do is accept the free gift of salvation. When he says, I am the deliverer, he didn't come just to deliver you out of your situation. He came to deliver you from your future. And for many of us, if you don't know the Lord, your future is hell. Your future is outside of the presence of the living God. But God says today is the day that you can turn it around. Will you make up your mind and come today? The doors of the church are open. Will you make a decision for him today? Will you allow him to move on your behalf? He wants to take the penalty for you. But you have to come. The Holy Ghost is a gentle spirit. He's not going to force himself on you. You have to make a decision that will change your life forever. Will you come? Will you come? The doors of the church are open. Thank you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.